Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Or go to the kgov.com website. Click on the store. Look at the subscriptions. Take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more. Get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Intelligent design.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Back from assignment, Fred. I'm glad you're here. We have to talk about a sad story in science news from right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, there was an incredible discovery at a construction site of Triceratops fossils.
Yes.
And one of the paleontologists, or they call him a preparator.
Yes.
From the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. His name's Mike Getty. He suddenly died at the excavation site.
Yeah, so sad. And the paleontology community is small. I had previously sent an email to Dr. Sertich, Joe Sertich, about their find in these Triceratops bones, suggesting that they look in them for dinosaur soft tissue. But the folks are devastated, everyone who knew Mike Getty. I was up there at the site. In fact, maybe we'll post a couple photos. I didn't have permission to be at the site, but one of our producers and I went up there, and we've got photos there, and one of the photos of the bones being excavated. So what we are wondering is, what was the cause of death, why Mike Getty passed away? He died at the excavation site, and it's not known what the cause of death was. And of course, we want to be incredibly sensitive to his family, loved ones, friends, to his coworkers at the museum, some of whom might hear this show. But we wonder, was the cause of death, was this an expected illness that he died from? Do you know?
Well, it wasn't. Fox News had reported it was an unexpected illness. I mean, there's so little details on what happened.
Yes.
But it wasn't something, if it was expected, say he had health problems.
He was fighting cancer for 3 years or...
But it wasn't anything like that.
Right.
Just based on the little data we have from the news stories.
And that he died. I mean, here's the headline from the Denver Post. Thornton Triceratops Fossil Preparator. You pronounced that right. You helped me because on Channel 4 News, they got it wrong. The preparator.
Yes.
The technician who knows how to work fossils and recover and restore fossils for display in museum exhibits, and also for study by scientists, especially the scientists looking for soft tissue, mind you. But anyway, that's a second story. So the Denver Post headline, Thornton Triceratops Fossil Preparator Mike Getty died Monday at excavation site. That's weird.
It is weird, and I really never thought much of it, and I was heading into the studio and an email flashed on my phone. And,
yes.
Okay, and I was driving carefully. I didn't, you know, but I saw the email.
Yeah.
And at a stoplight, I saw it was from you. And you had a really interesting
question
on this. It's a reasonable one in my view.
Yeah, I sent this question to you, and I won't give the names of these scientists, but to a molecular biologist, PhD, to a marine biologist, PhD, to a PhD physicist who's been published in the journal Nature, to another scientist who's currently now getting his PhD over in Europe, and to a medical doctor who is an expert on fossils. And I asked the question. First, I quote it from the Denver Post. And this, the Denver Museum of Nature and Science did not say what caused Getty's death, only that it was not related to an accident at the excavation site, because they had heavy equipment there. Like you said, It's also a construction site. And they're digging up this large Triceratops skeleton. Some of it's already on display at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science.
And one of the news reports said unexpected illness. I mean, there's an unexpected illness.
So they said this was not an excavation site accident, but he died unexpectedly. So the question I asked the scientist, and this was right before the show, so perhaps by next week's show we'll hear back from one or more. We usually do, thanks to 26 years on the air reporting on science news, and you and I doing this for going on a decade now, Fred. It's so fun, by the way. Thank you. It is,
and so I'd like to have a 27th year, and we do have a telethon this month, right?
That's right. We're up to about $10,000 of our goal of $30,000, and that goal is vital. It's vitally important. We meet that. We don't have a foundation behind us, and we do not have a mega church. You know, we have one another, Fred and Jamie and Larry and the crew. We have the Lord, but he doesn't add zeros to our checking account balance. He just doesn't do that. It doesn't matter what the televangelists say, the Lord doesn't do that. But he works through us. He works through the body of Christ. That's how he spreads the gospel, through us, through those who love him.
Yeah, we're only a third of the way there and more than halfway through the month.
Yes.
So, man, we really do
So we
need
really
your help.
Need help. And the way to help, you go to our website, rsr.org, click on the store, and you could either subscribe to any of our monthly services or donate or purchase the materials, including from the science department. And there's so many fun and awesome videos and books. You'll just love it.
Well, there's another thing you can do, a $20 a week science contributor.
That's right. Be a part of our Real Science Radio, our science research team. We meet in a video conference call on Google Hangouts every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, so 5 o'clock Mountain Time. And it's like taking a class. So there's a cost to the class, $20 a week, but then you get to be part of a research team. Some people over the years, Fred, we've been doing this for over a decade. Some people think, well, I don't have enough to contribute, so I would just get in the way. But by doing this as part of raising the funds for Real Science Radio, people could feel more confident. It's like I'm paying my own way for a seat at the table. So right off the top, I'm helping Real Science Radio. And then whatever I learn in the process and whatever I might be able to uncover, searching with Google or watching a video or whatever research comes up during the course of the months and the years, then, you know, I might be able to help in multiple ways.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Great idea.
Yes.
And you can find that on the website, right?
Yes. We have a whole description of it. And you could send an email to bob@rsr.org if you'd like to be on the team, or just call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So, Fred, with Mike Getty passing away, is it too far out to wonder, might he have picked up an infection from the Triceratops itself? He's handling these bones.
He's right down there with them. The way that they excavate these bones, they're brushing away. I mean, they're directly in contact.
Yeah, intimate contact with these bones. We know, because we are probably the world's number one science journalist reporting on the discovery of dinosaur soft tissue, that these bones are often filled with red blood cells, blood vessels, all kinds of proteins. And certainly when you have all that, you're also likely to have bacteria that had infected the dinosaur when it was alive. And we also publish online the world's most complete listing of peer-reviewed scientific papers published in the world's leading journals of soft tissue that has been recovered from fossils that are allegedly millions of years old. They can't be, but that's what's alleged.
Yeah, they can't possibly be.
But Fred, not all of the original biological material has been dead. Has it all been dead?
It has not been dead. In fact, we have another list that includes living bacteria. that are in things that are supposed to be, again, millions and millions of years old.
Yeah.
And, of course, the worldview of the evolutionist is well, somehow it survived because it was preserved in amber or whatever. They have to come up with excuses.
Millions and millions and tens but of millions.
But this is living bacteria.
Years and hundreds of millions of years.
Is this bacteria different than bacteria today?
The bacteria, for one, it must be eternal.
Yeah.
The eternal
yeah.
bacteria. If you want eternal life, become a bacteria.
Yeah.
So, no, the bacteria that they find, just like you and I predicted in Lake Vostok in Antarctica, when the Russians drilled through a couple miles and they got yes. to, they said.
And we predicted before they actually
yes.
reported on what they found. They said it was a perfect petri dish for evolution.
Yeah.
And we agreed. It's yeah. like, yeah, it is. Because what you're going to find is no evolution.
Right. This bacteria, what they thought when they got through to the part of the lake that was liquid, they had to go through 2 miles of ice. And when they got to within 10 meters of the ice, they had a break for the winter, pretty rough winter down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they predicted that they're going to find tremendous evolution occurring because for millions of years, that lake was cut off from the rest of the world. So the bacteria, the single-celled organisms, whatever they were, the prokaryotes, they wouldn't have evolved in the same direction as everything else. It'd be their own wild world of evolutionary novelties. And you and I made a prediction that they were wrong.
That they were wrong. And then we found out, of course, that they were wrong. I mean, I remember one of the quotes, not this isn't verbatim, but it's pretty much, well, this stuff we find in modern lakes today.
Around the world.
Yeah.
So we predicted that the single-celled organisms they would find would be just like the ones everywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they found. How could the evolutionists get it so wrong? And these are PhD microbiologists studying microbes. How could they get it so wrong? Fred, I'm currently reading, and this is why my wife thinks I'm nuts. I'm reading a book called Prokaryotic Development about prokaryotes. Remember, you carry Yoda, I'll carry Chewbacca. Eukaryotes
yeah.
are cells with a nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
And prokaryotes, they supposedly came before. They're prokaryotes. They do not have a nucleus. So I'm reading a book on their supposed development, their evolutionary development. Fred, I love it. This is a college text. It says that the fossil record of bacteria going back billions of years ago, they claim it goes back 3.5 billion years, and they say it is fully sufficient for us to conclude that there has been no significant change
yeah.
in the bacteria over 3.5 billion
Complete
years.
And utter stasis for 3 billion years.
Yeah, isn't that hysterical? And that's the prediction of the creationists, that the fossil record would show stasis,
mm-hmm.
and the evolutionists that it would show change.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so obvious that they have such a blind, it's a religion. It's
yes.
a blind faith religion because they hate God.
Yes. So we maintain not only the list of dinosaur soft tissue, but then all of the fossil discoveries where they've recovered original biological material inside the fossils. And what a neat list it is. It's comprehensive.
Oh, yeah. It's the best around.
Go to rsr.org/soft. That will get you there.
Wow. Yep.
And you got at the top of the page, it's all the dinosaur discoveries. Then at the bottom, there's supplemental material. And you click, it's so simple, on the biomaterial fossils list. And in that list, which goes back, by the way, hundreds of millions and even over a billion years, where they say they find original biological material, which is hysterical. But we have predicted, no matter how deep you get in the so-called geologic column, you're still going to find biological material.
Yeah, and so it really is interesting, Bob. This is a speculation, but it's a reasonable one. You know, with our worldview, this is something that we would see as a possibility. Now, the evolutionists, their worldview, they would never even consider this.
Just like...
And if they did find out he died of some bacterial infection, you
they
know,
might never think to look in the dinosaur.
Exactly.
In the Triceratops. And Fred, to make this even more likely, like I've seen at dig sites, a paleontologist will pick up what looks like maybe a rock or a stone, but it might be a chip of bone, and he puts it on his tongue because of all the canals, they call them, inside of bone, and then it sort of sticks to your tongue. I'm looking at an article here. at the Smithsonian's website, smithsonianmag.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled Bone versus Stone, How to Tell the Difference. It's from our friend over there, Brian Sweetek, who doesn't like to report on dinosaur soft tissue. And he writes this, and it's accurate. You can try a tongue test. The porous nature of some fossil bones will cause it to slightly stick to your tongue. So that's another reason why investigators should look at this as a possibility that Mike Getty may have been infected by a pathogen that was inside of this decomposing triceratops here in Thornton, Colorado.
Yeah.
And also the museum could caution their workers there at the excavation site, don't use the tongue test until the cause of death for Mr. Getty is determined. But Fred, let's share with the audience our list, because we have papers that were published in the journal Science, in the journal Microbiology, and in the journal Microbial Ecology. And these are of living bacteria discovered in fossils that are dated to be tens of millions of years old.
Yeah. So the first one on this list is supposedly 120 million years old, and it's isolated non-spore-forming bacteria living in amber.
So imagine that. They believe that this colony of bacteria has stayed alive for 120 million years in this amber. They also believe that they found live bacteria from rock salt that's 250 million years old. That's published in the journal Microbiology. Then there was a meeting, an annual meeting of the American Society for Microbiology. You know, microbiology is different than molecular biology.
Mm-hmm.
Molecular biology is cells, DNA, all the organelles in the cells, all that. Microbiology, a microbiologist, they study the germs.
Yeah, the really, yeah, micro.
Single cellular microbes. And so at the annual meeting of these dudes, they say they report that they found live bacteria from halite deposit separate from the rock salts. And then there's a fourth one.
Yeah, live bacteria spores from amber. This was supposedly 25 to 40 billion years ago.
Yeah.
And that was reported in the journal Science.
Science. So there's
live bacteria.
Live. All these are live bacteria. And there's many other studies. Like, do you remember the one where they thought in a 15-million-year-old tick, they found some bacteria?
Yeah, they found Lyme disease.
Yeah, the kind of bacteria that causes Lyme disease.
That's right.
But they didn't report whether any of that bacteria was still alive. So we're not including those kinds
looked,
of discoveries.
Yeah, under the microscope, they recognized it. And so
they could tell what species of bacteria.
And they knew that this was the same bacteria that causes Lyme disease.
Right.
So again, to speculate that, you know, Mike Getty, you know, maybe
he
picked
succumbed.
Up a bacteria that rapidly, you know, just killed him. Because it was a sudden
death from an unexpected illness at the excavation site.
You know, Bob, if it was something like a heart attack, they would mention that.
Well, yeah,
you would
probably,
think.
At
you
least
think.
If they find out. And they
there's
probably
something
find
weird
out
about this.
Reasonably soon.
Because this is a week ago, and we still haven't heard why.
So who knows? You know, who knows? But it is possible that this Triceratops was carrying a pathogen that today we have no immunity for. And it's in the form of a bacteria that gets through your pores, or you breathe it in, or you got it on your hands and you rub your eyes or you lick your fingers to turn a page in your field guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bacteria is in your body. And if your immune system doesn't recognize it, it could do a number on you really quickly.
That's right.
Yeah, because this stuff reproduces, what? It doubles every 20 minutes or so, a typical bacteria. And with a day or two, you got billions of these things. So we don't know, of course, but we're saying if they don't find out what killed Mike Getty, they should consider this possibility also, because there are people at the museum that could be in danger if, in fact, these bones are carrying some kind of infectious disease.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it just reminds me of really the immune system is super incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it learns rapidly.
Yes.
But unfortunately, because of the fallen creation, sometimes your immune system isn't strong enough. But just the very technology of the immune system itself to learn.
It's so brilliant, isn't it?
It is. It's incredible.
And the FDA just a few weeks ago approved yet another targeted antibodies drug, this one for juvenile leukemia. It's the really harsh kind that just devastates a young person.
Oh,
often
it used
kills
to be
them.
Like almost 100% fatal. Now it's almost 100% cured.
Yes, the trials so far, 85% or so of those who had advanced stage leukemia recover. And it looks like they're cured. And this stuff stays in your body. Based on studies already for more than a decade, they think it might stay in your body for your life. So if the cancer were ever to recur, your antibodies, they remember how to destroy it. And they just get right on it, which is so exciting.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah, we've done studies about this, that the antibody, these are some of your white blood cells. Your red blood cells have the hemoglobin. They carry oxygen throughout your body. The white blood cells are all the other blood cells. And some of them are antibodies, and you could think of them as having two halves. The one half knows how to attach on to a pathogen. The back half knows how to go back to the headquarters and say, hey, this works. Make a few billion of these.
Exactly.
And then they make billions of them, and they send them out, and they destroy whatever's trying to hurt you. Well, now they're doing that, and they're curing different kinds of cancers. It's exhilarating.
And I think we're one of the few, if only, science shows reporting regularly on this.
Right, that we've been doing it all along and giving the updates. And you could find it at rsr.org/targeted antibodies. rsr.org/targeted antibodies. It's a revolution in cancer treatment.
And so I remember back at the end of August when they first discovered this Triceratops in Thornton, Colorado. We were also talking at that time about the eclipse and some other things, the asteroid that came by. And by the way, we nailed the prediction.
Prediction that asteroid Florence might have one or two moons. And NASA says
a week later, they have two moons.
Had two moons. Asteroid Florence has two moons. And my unbelieving friends, Fred, they just say, Bob, how in the world do you guys, how do you come out saying asteroid Florence will have two moons?
Because all scientists work for
Walt Brown. Yeah. And we know how asteroids formed, and they don't. And that's why we know.
Yeah.
And we've
that's
made
how
some,
science is supposed to work. You make predictions, and if the predictions come about, that's
it gives credibility to your scientific insights.
That's right.
And Fred, predictions are the hard currency of science.
Oh, good way to put it.
We have made so many predictions that have been confirmed. But I feel like we've been cheating. It's just cheating.
Yeah.
Like when you have the answers to the test before you sit down for the test, it's like you're cheating.
It's
like
one time I hated fishing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So my dad took me to this lake that had, I think, a million fish, and the lake was maybe as big as our room here. Yeah. It's a pond. And so I caught like three fish. Yeah. And I'm like, but that was cheating.
That's cheating. So for us, we make these predictions, and we know they're true.
Yeah.
We just know they're true. And they're wildly contradictory to everything NASA's ever said, like the Hubble Deep Field image. Totally contradictory what the whole world of molecular biology thinks, like orphan genes are more common than other genes, and on and on. And we know that these predictions are accurate because we have a valid worldview of the origin of the Earth, mankind, and the cosmos.
So anyways, towards the end of August, you had blind copied me on an email that you sent to this Dr. Sertich. And I thought, this would be great to talk about on the radio. Oh. It has to do with this dinosaur discovery in Thornton.
So you printed out a copy. I'll pull mine up here on my computer. So this was an email to Dr. Joe Sertich at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, because he's the head paleontologist in charge of the dig with this Triceratops.
I love how you engaged Dr. Sertich on this topic. Hello, Dr. Sertich. On Denver Radio, 50,000 watt AM 670, I've spoken with some of the scientists who have recovered original dinosaur soft tissue from fossils, including not just paleontologists, but molecular biologists.
And then I ask a parenthetical question. What are they doing at Dino Digs? Yeah. Like, what are molecular biologists doing hanging out with paleontologists? That's so fun. And a leading microscopist who we've interviewed, And then, Fred, I gave Dr. Sertich two links. Here's a comprehensive list of original biomaterial fossils with links to the papers in the leading journals. So this is all
that extensive list that is unsurpassed anywhere on the internet.
Yes. And likewise, a comprehensive list of apparent recovered dinosaur biological material over at rsr.org/soft. So here are these two lists.
Yep. So you go on. Of course, you're familiar with such discoveries, but with your new Thornton Triceratops, these handy lists might suggest ideas for some stunning Denver Museum opportunities. As we maintain the above lists, we sometimes get pre-publication and in-press heads-up from the authors themselves and from some of the world's leading experts on these discoveries. I've talked with Dr. Jack Horner, which is a super interesting talk.
Yeah, Dr. Horner is the Jurassic Park, the real-world scientist, paleontologist, whom Steven Spielberg modeled the mad scientist,
The guy in that movie's
in Jurassic Park,
supposed to be Jack Horner.
Right, and who brought the dinosaurs back because of their blood in mosquitoes and amber. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Until the fourth, and Jack Horner was on the set of all four Jurassic Park films as an advisor. And Fred, in the fourth film, the scientist was asked, oh, you use the blood in mosquitoes and amber? And he said, oh, we don't do that anymore. We have now the actual dinosaur soft tissue. Which is so cool. Yeah. You know, the film's caught up to the real science. And I also let him know that one of our guests, an expert on these topics, has interacted also with Dr. Mary Schweitzer. And we greatly appreciate her work, even though she is an old earth scientist. She's one of the leaders in finding original dinosaur soft tissue. That's the meat, basically. Mm-hmm. The soft tissue that grew inside the dinosaurs is being found and published in the world's leading science journals.
Yeah, she's the original discoverer of the soft tissue.
You know, they had claims before Mary, but she's the one who broke open the floodgates by getting published in the journal Science. And it's been just a constant parade of discovery after discovery since Mary. So I asked Joe Sertich, I'm wondering, Dr. Sertich, if you don't mind risking a tad bit of your reputation, that's a funny thing to ask a scientist. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind risking a tad bit of your reputation to conduct this kind of cutting edge science.
Perhaps you would be willing to look for endogenous biological tissue in one or more of these Triceratops bones. Mm. And then you mentioned in 2015, Nature Communications reported original soft biological tissue in 6 of 8 random dinosaur bones investigated.
Wow.
So most of them had it.
Yeah.
Leading to the researchers' conclusion that preservation is more common than previously thought.
Yes. And that's when, Fred, you and I called our prediction confirmed. Because back when they were saying that dinosaur soft tissue is extremely rare, has to be under the most unique mm-hmm. circumstances, we said, no, it's common. All they have to do is look for it. If they look for it, they'll find it.
Once they started looking, they found it.
Fred, an atheist in Denver who's been involved in the Denver Astronomy Society for decades, said to me this past week, she said, Bob, this Triceratops that they found here, there's no way it will have soft tissue in it. And I said to her, she's a dear friend. And I said, and Fred, this doesn't sound very humble, but I'm trying to reach her with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I said, you do know that you're speaking to one of the world's leading experts on dinosaur soft tissue. I mean, we have read all the papers and done more reporting than any science outlet anywhere in the world. And there's every reason to believe that the Thornton Triceratops will have dinosaur soft tissue in it. Every reason to
believe. Well, based on this random sample, there's a 75% chance at least that this will have soft tissue in it.
Right. And that was from London's Museum of Nature and Science. Fred, they took 8 random bones and they found red blood cells in 6 of the 8. So it's like, come on, this stuff is everywhere. You just have to look for it.
So you go on, a Montana Triceratops horn recently excavated, as published in Acta Histochemica.
Yeah, another prestigious science journal. So, Fred, I continue to Dr. Sertich. A Montana Triceratops horn recently excavated, as published in a prestigious science journal, Acta Histochemica, yielded sheets of soft tissue, sheets of endogenous soft tissue. Endogenous, for the public school teachers tuning in right now, that means the tissue that grew in the original animal that died. So the dinosaur that was living grew endogenous tissue, and this Triceratops horn that they dug up in Montana, about 3 feet long, had sheets of soft tissue, exquisite osteocytes, those are bone cells, and nanometer-wide filopodia. In other words, the cells are so well-preserved, still soft, and the little hairs that protrude from the cells, they're only billionths of a meter wide, beautifully preserved. And I said, Dr. Sertich, other papers report apparent nuclei within the dinosaur osteocytes, and one even reports positive results for DNA tests.
Yeah, multiple double helix.
Isn't that cool? So, yeah, that it looks like a spiral staircase, the DNA. And if it turns, complete turns, like 3 or 4 times, then you could get a positive DNA test. And Fred, they have multiple tests, positive results for DNA in a hadrosaur and in a T-Rex.
Well, and, you know, on Irrational Wiki, well, they call it Rational Wiki.
Rational Wiki, the atheist website.
Yeah. They have they claim on there that if dinosaurs really are just 6,000 years old, then you should find DNA in them.
You should.
You should.
Isn't that funny? And yeah, funny you should, and we do.
And we did.
We should.
Thank you.
We should, and
thank
we do.
You for the prediction, and thank you. We have confirmed it.
Yes, right. The atheists, their entire worldview is incorrect, so they tend to get their predictions wrong.
That's being really kind, Bob.
Whereas our website, rsr.org/predictions, you see so many of our science predictions have been confirmed, and they're all so much fun. So I point out, Fred, to Dr. Sertich that he might have to risk some of his reputation, because even though dinosaur soft tissue is the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology, it is still mostly unknown to the general public and, sadly, even to members of the media. And I name a reporter over at Channel 7 News who was basically reporting blind because he doesn't know about all this stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people still don't know about this.
Yes, right. And then I close by pointing out that many scientists just don't like the idea that red blood cells appear in dinosaur bones. They hate it. Even though they should be dancing on their kitchen tables, they just hate it.
Yeah, it's just like when they found out the chimp and the human Y chromosome was so
horrendously different, they said. Horrendously different, and they should be almost identical if evolution were true.
So you sent this off, but I know I talked to you before the show. You have not heard from him yet.
No, I haven't heard from Joe Sertich. You know, I thanked him for his work and for his consideration. But Fred, if they lose the dinosaurs, they lose it all, because they have staked so much on dinosaurs being 100
million years old. That's been their number one evangelical tool.
Yes.
To all ages.
All ages. Yeah. You're right. So Fred, it could be a matter of public health that they look to see if there are pathogens in these dinosaur bones that were living in the dinosaur when it was alive, and its immune system would have handled them fine, obviously. But we may not be ready for them yet. We still have to build up in immunity.
Wow. Yeah, that's such an interesting idea, Bob. I don't know if we'll ever find out. And right now it's elusive, but maybe we'll find something out.
Yeah. But hopefully the cause of death will be known because, you know, it brings closure, for one, to everybody. But then, two, is there a risk with this particular find? We don't know. But plenty of live bacteria has been recovered from fossils that the evolutionists thought were tens of millions or hundreds of millions of years old. So it should be investigated. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thank you, Bob. And don't forget about the telethon this month.
That's right.
We're behind. We need your help.
Yeah, we're about $10,000 of our $30,000 goal. We really do need your help to stay on the air.
That's not an arbitrarily set goal either.
No,
that's really what we need.
We really need this revenue, because you guys are our revenue source. So please give if you can. Call us 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9585. 1-800-273-9278 or go online, rsr.org, and click on the store, and you can subscribe monthly or donate or purchase some of our science materials. I think you'll love them, and you'll help us reach more people. So until next time, for Fred Williams and Bob Enyart, this is Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.